Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I'm delighted to say Tim Vickery is with us this morning. Tim, good morning to you. How are you?
It's 5:41 in the morning, so I think it's a bit too early to say, but I think I'm all right.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you getting up.
No worries, my pleasure.
Very few things in the world would make us ring you and ask you to get up at this time, but this is the end of an era. Like, if the transfer happens, and I actually think that it's more likely to happen than not at this point, it is the greatest player who produced some of the best football that history will ever see is involved in a horrible, horrific divorce from the team that made him. It's no crack.
No, for those who have been thrilled by everything that he's done with Barcelona over the years, it is a sad divorce, but I can't believe that too many people are surprised. Firstly, I can't believe that too many people who follow Barcelona would have been surprised by what happened in that game against Bayern Munich. And secondly, of those people, I can't believe that many would be surprised by the major consequence of that defeat, which is Lionel Messi's desire to leave, because Barcelona have been a shambles for some time. Messi is at a stage of his career now where it doesn't seem to be in his best interests to be part of a rebuilding job. It's something that he's already doing with Argentina. You may remember after the last World Cup, when Argentina were a shambles, there was a debate about whether he would ever bother playing for his country again. What he's done since with Argentina is actually redoubled his dedication. He's taken on the role of wise old owl with Argentina. There were always complaints that he was too aloof, that he was in his own little world, that he was only ever speaking to his old mate Sergio Aguero. What he's done with Argentina, especially over the last 18 months, is to become the vocal leader, the encouraging figure. He's taken on that burden. During the Copa America last year, he even talked so much after the games that he talks himself into trouble. He picked up a suspension for making unwise remarks about the way that the competition was being run. So he's taken on that wise old owl role with Argentina, but he can't change his country. He can change his club. So why would he want to do the same role with Barcelona, a wise old owl in a rebuilding process, when he has options? He can go elsewhere. He can look for a club that can give him the chance of winning the Champions League. And also, it would seem that he's lost respect for those who have been running Barcelona. So it's sad for those of us who've loved what he's done with Barcelona, but I don't see this as at all surprising.
How big is this story as a matter of interest in Brazil, for example? Are they agog at what's going on, or is it a bit like, well, look, we can't be too interested because he's not one of ours?
Well, no, it's huge everywhere. It's huge for anyone who follows world football. It's obviously in Argentina itself. It's very, very exciting, especially for fans of the splendidly named Newell's Old Boys Club in Argentina's second city of Rosario, because that could be one option. He's often talked about his dream of ending his career with a club where it all started, Newell's. I personally think it's premature at this stage. I think if he's got 3 years, maximum four left at the highest level, I think he's going to go somewhere that can give him the chance of winning the Champions League. And I would imagine that he wouldn't have made this move without having it relatively clear in his mind where he would like to go. Now, where that's going to be, we're going to find out soon if this thing does go through. But for the time being, I think clubs all over the place can dream, can't they? They can get out their spreadsheets and try and work out a way to pay the wages of this magnificent player, and coaches can plot about how they could fit him into their starting lineup. Players and big clubs can dream about lining up with Lionel. It's exciting times.
I think several people have made the idea public that it makes sense for Leo Messi to know what his next step is here. This isn't just an emotional reaction to what happened last week and to the conversation with Ronald Koeman. Part of me wonders, though, if you're in Leo Messi's situation, you can decide that you want to go to City, or you can decide that you want to go to Paris Saint-Germain, and fair enough, you know, you're not returning. But also, it's nice to be wanted. So you put this out there and you do see what those spreadsheets look like, and you do invite people to make a proper pitch for your talents. If you think back to LeBron James leaving Cleveland the first time, it was essentially an open competition. Like, everybody got the opportunity to go and talk to him and say, yeah, hic is tibi debo, here, look as I unfurl my cape at what all of the things that I give you. Look down there. Everything there is yours. And I would say that, you know, Man United are cobbling together their package. Mm. I mean, I don't know. If Roman Abramovich isn't like, oh, and are we sure we want all these young kids from the Bundesliga? Come, you know.
Well, as a Tottenham fan, I have to declare an interest. Obviously, I hope Ozzy Ardiles is putting in a word. You know, he's pulling a connection to bring him. You know, you couldn't imagine a better stadium in which. But that's the thing. We can all dream. You know, even Leeds fans can dream about him teaming up with Bielsa in the Premier League. So you know, dreaming is free. Let's all enjoy ourselves working out how Messi would fit into our team.
How big a factor is it that Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez have such a close relationship? We've heard a few contributors earlier on this morning saying it is a factor. From, I guess, writing about both of these people and speaking about both of these people throughout your career, how close have they become over the last couple of years?
Well, they've had a splendid partnership, but I wouldn't stress that too much as a factor in Messi leaving, because I think Suarez has become part of the problem. Magnificent player, not only a fighter, but a player of tremendous quality. And he scored a terrific goal against Bayern. And he had a hand in the other goal that they scored, which was the own goal, where Alaba panics and puts it into his own net because of the presence of Suarez. So he still has plenty to offer. But Messi over recent times has stressed that even against lesser teams in La Liga, Barcelona are being pressured and they're not showing the intensity that lesser sides in La Liga can show. And Suarez is part of that problem. It's part of the mismanagement of Barcelona in recent times. Well-run clubs, and the example that I always grew up with as a kid was like Liverpool in the 70s and 80s, utterly ruthless about replacing players. They'd replace a player a year or two seasons before you thought it was necessary to do so. And the spine of that Barcelona side grew old together. You know, Piqué, Busquets, Suarez. Messi is the same age as them, but Messi on his range of talents is so magnificent that he can compete at the highest level after having lost that little bit of his pace. But it's a problem with Suarez. We clearly saw in the Bayern Munich game, as you've been seeing with Barcelona for some time, the lack of attacking pace. And Suarez in his pomp, absolutely magnificent on the shoulder of the last defender. Magnificent. And what that does is that forces the opposing defensive line back, creating space in which Messi can work his magic. Now, against Bayern, it didn't happen at all, because Suarez, without his pace and with no pace in the attacking, and that's been a problem for Barcelona for a while. They misspent on Felipe Coutinho, who they didn't need, couldn't solve that problem. He's another player who wants the ball to feet. Dembélé, who was an expensive option, has been unfit and has given them problems. And so Bayern were able to press with absolute relentless ruthlessness. When the goal that effectively wins that game, remember, Suarez has just scored and Barcelona have pulled it back to 4-2. And you're thinking, can they get out of jail with this one? And the goal that ends it as a contest, it's Bayern's fifth goal. You get Davies, the Bayern left back, getting to the byline, pulling the ball back for Kimmich, the right back, to score from inside the six-yard box. So you've got a side that can throw so many players forward that you've got both of its fullbacks right up there. And they can press that high because they're not worried about the pace at the other end. You know, they didn't go through some of the defensive risks that they had against Lyon even, or against PSG in the final. So I don't think it's just a case of loyalty to Luis Suarez. I think it's the case of losing respect for people running the club who haven't been taking the hard decisions, the necessary decisions to come up with a competitive team, because these heavy defeats in the Champions League have become a dismal annual routine for Barcelona, and it's a big rebuilding job, isn't it? I mean, this is going to take time. And time at the highest level is a commodity that is scarce in the life of Lionel Messi. So, you know, if Barcelona can't be competitive for the next couple of years, and Messi has lost respect for people running it, and he's got options, why not use those options, and why not see where else he can go and what else he can do?
Okay, it's 9:51 this morning. Our guest is Tim Vickery. And a reminder, of course, that OTBAM is live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Tim, if you reckon that it's a couple of years early for him to go to South America, it was interesting, the story broke in Argentina through a journalist that he has broken stories with before. Is there any rumblings in the press there about what the most likely outcome in terms of what Messi wants next?
Well, the sports paper were going big on Man City because of two factors. One is Guardiola, the other is Sergio Aguero. But I don't think anyone at the moment, it doesn't seem that anyone really has an inside track. So the ones that are being touted, I'm sure the same ones that are being touted with you, which is City, United, Inter Milan, and Paris Saint-Germain.
It doesn't feel like anybody else is a realistic contender at the moment. It doesn't feel like Juventus somehow enter into this by somehow uniting the two warring factions, or by getting rid of Cristiano in the summer. And maybe if they sell Cristiano to Paris Saint-Germain, all of a sudden Leo Messi to Juventus seems like it's a possibility. But those seem like the most obvious ones. Can we tease out the Manchester United one? Because I think that's kind of that has kind of come into people's consciousness quite late. Do you think that's realistic?
Well, it would be very exciting, wouldn't it? I mean, if we're talking about Messi at this stage needing to be surrounded by attacking pace, then well, United have that in spades, don't they? So, in footballing terms, that may be the easiest fit, perhaps easier fit even than Man City, well, what a move that would be for United, who all through their history, you know, since the days of Matt Busby, have gone out of their way to be a real glamour club. Part of the mission of United under Busby was to add real colour to a grey, hard-working industrial town. So it would be a signing which would really scream out that United are working in that tradition after a few years where the bar has been lowered a little bit. So I think that would be very exciting. But whatever's going to happen, it's going to be very exciting at the moment. You know, speculation time is wonderful.
There's no sense that we've seen a little bit of what Leo Messi looks like outside of Barcelona with his performances for Argentina, where, as you've said, he takes so much responsibility on himself that sometimes the performance is damaged, that there's a potential for that to occur at another club level? Or is that simply those performances aren't as good because the scenario there is so weighted against him?
You know, it's almost exactly 15 years since his international career started. I remember it well. He came on as a sub in a friendly against Hungary. He just turned 18. He was instantly magnificent, you know, instantly on the ball and moving with the fluidity that we've come to love, and he was moving so well that he had a Hungarian defensive midfielder hanging on to him, and he tried to get free, and he swung an arm to get free, and the Hungarian went down like a sack of potatoes, and the referee reached for his red card, and Messi's international debut, very harshly actually, lasted less than 5 minutes, which I suppose is a symbol for 15 years of frustration with Argentina, because although he's won the Olympic title, that the senior title has eluded him. It's very harsh to see his international career as a failure. And he scored more goals for Argentina than anyone else. There have been some magnificent performances. And if you swap, you know, Maradona had Burruchaga, who raced away to Maradona's pass to score the winner in the 1986 World Cup final. Well, Messi has had Gonzalo Higuain, because the three consecutive finals, the World Cup final in 14, Copa America finals in 15 and 16, Argentina lost them all narrowly, and every time the big chance fell to Higuain, and every time it was blown. So you swap Burruchaga with Higuain, and people will be thinking of Messi's international career, I think, in a very different light. There have been some superb performances for Argentina down the line. I mean, they probably wouldn't have qualified for the last World Cup without him. Those who've over the years who've seen him as a problem, I couldn't agree with that at all for Argentina. He's so often he's been the solution for a team that have had lots of structural problems. And who is the last great Argentine defender, centre back? Who's the last great Argentine goalkeeper? But as we were saying earlier on, you can't change your country, but you can change your club. So he's in a position now where he can look for a club where the playing staff has a balance where you can get the most out of him. And exactly for that reason, it's so exciting, because, and he's proved time and time again, maybe not in some of the big finals, and maybe in the big finals with Argentina, he hasn't come up with that individual greatness. But again, you have to remember that these tournaments, and this is the bane of the international tournament, they happen at the end of the season, when players are low on gas, and Messi's, I think, been low on gas. I remember the World Cup 2014. You're watching him there at the end of the long season, and there are long passages of the game. I was in the stadium for some of Argentina's games, where he's almost like wandering around the centre circle, you know, with his head down, looking as if he just dropped his wedding ring or something, and then suddenly he'll burst into life because he was clearly rationing himself. That's the problem with the end of season competition. Having him during the entire season, where, you know, a rich club will be able to rest him if he wants to be rested, and he doesn't usually want to be rested, he wants to play. But this is the exciting thing for the club that gets him. You're going to get him during stage of the season when he's absolutely fit and absolutely firing on all cylinders, and what a wonderful prospect that is.
You ask who was the last great Argentine goalkeeper. Well, Sergio Romero and Lionel Messi can team up, the two goats of their position at Manchester United, for a long and fruitful relationship there. One last question. This is probably something that you ponder quite a bit, but at what point do you start to feel that Lionel Messi will accept his decline, or at what point do you think, how many more years does he have at this level? Because he is coming off a Ballon d'Or year. This 2022 World Cup year has been mentioned quite a bit over the last few hours, that he needs to stay at this level for just two more seasons. Do you go along with that?
Yeah, I think he's providing he stays fit, I think he's probably got three or four. Because he is so complete. You know, he's a player who he can lose pace and still be magnificent. There's a quote about him from his old teammate for club and country, Javier Mascherano, that you know, the vast majority of players are controlled by the game. Messi controls the game, and sometimes it looks as if he's not only playing, but he's watching from the best seat in the house, because his capacity to analyse the opposition, to find space, to find the space where he can be most effective, is uncanny. His range of passing is absolutely magnificent. So even if he can't burst through defences with a little moment of acceleration that takes three or four defenders out of the game, he can still be superb despite that, especially if he's surrounded with the kind of attacking pace that whichever club he plays for can give him. So in the right context, I think the range of his talents is so extraordinary that I think he can still have 3, maybe 4 years at the highest level ahead of him.
Tim, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
My pleasure. Thank you.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.